of the second of the second parak. If we look at parak beis halacha zayin, the Rambam talks about Yom Kippurim. The Rambam talks about Yom Kippurim and says, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva LaTov. Yom HaKippurim is different than every other day of the year. It's different because it's Yom Tshuva LaTov. It's a day of repentance for all. This is a difficult notion. It's hard to understand why repentance should be connected to a day. Repentance, on the one hand, is something that we all have to do, probably all of the time. But for each of us, there are times when we're more aware of this need than other times. And that's when we should repent. It is true that in the parasha of Yom HaKippurim, Parsha Yom HaKippurim in Achrimos, it says about this day, the day of Yom HaKippurim, Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem letaher eschem. On this day, you will be atoned. God will atone you and purify you, mikol chatuseichem, from all of your sins, lifnei Hashem titorim. So there is in the pasuk a clear relationship between kapara, between atonement, and day, and this particular day of the year. The Rambam, in trying to summarize in one sentence what this day is, says that it's a zman tshuva lakol. It's a time of tshuva for the entire people, for the entire nation. And then he goes on and says, Liyochid ularabim. Liyochid ularabim, I guess, refers back to what the Rambam said in the first parak. In the first parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam starts by saying, Kol ha-mitzvos shebatorah, parak rishon aleph, halacha aleph, Kol ha-mitzvos shebatorah, all the mitzvos in the Torah, and then he goes on to list all the mitzvos, and then he says, K'sheyaseh tshuva v'yashu b'cheto, when a person does tshuva and repents. Now he's obviously talking about the individual. He's talking about an individual, and he's not talking about Yom HaKippurim. At least there's no mention of Yom HaKippurim. It says, when the individual decides to do tshuva. Why does a person decide to do tshuva? The Rambam doesn't say, but we assume that the individual decides to do tshuva because he suddenly recognizes his own personal state and why tshuva would be helpful, important, positive, etc. And then the Rambam goes on to say that this person has to do vidui, right? He has to confess. And that's part of tshuva. Halacha beis, he says, Sa'ir ha-mishtaleach. Halacha beis, Sa'ir ha-mishtaleach, the goat that was sent out on Yom HaKippur. That's obviously Yom HaKippurim. That's the day that the goat was sent out. But here he says, Sa'ir mishtalech avishu kapara al kol Yisrael. This Sa'ir mishtalech somehow atones the sins of the community. Kol Yisrael. Kohen Gadol mizvada olov al Hashem kol Yisrael. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol is plural. He represents everybody. And he confesses all the aveiros in the Torah. And then the Rambam goes on to say, quite remarkably, that Sa'ir ha-mishtalech mikaper al-kol aveiros shebat Torah. That the power of the Sa'ir ha-mishtalech is unique, because all aveiros can be atoned for through the agency of the Sa'ir ha-mishtalech, ha-kalos, ha-chamuros, those that are or whose punishment is less offensive or less severe, and those whose punishment, those avonot, whose punishment is more severe, bein she'ovar bezodon, bein she'ovar b'shkoga. He says, he goes on to list all of the power, this tremendous power that the Sa'ir Mishtalech, the goat that's sent out into the never-never land of Azazel, the power of atonement that this goat has. And then he goes on and says, Behu she'osa tshuva. In other words, there's the collective aspect and the personal aspect. On Yom HaKippurim, that tshuva, that kapara, somehow comes through the agency of the Sa'ir Mishtalech for a wide variety of transgressions, b'tnai, with the condition that he does tshuva. Avalim lo asa tshuva, the Rambam says. If the individual doesn't do tshuva, ein aser mekaper lo ela ala kalos. Then the Sa'ir only works for some of the averos, but not for the more severe ones. So, there is some sort of national atonement that takes place on Yom HaKippurim, right? National atonement, where the Kohen Gadol, you don't have to do anything, right? You don't have to sit home and dream about the next meal that you're going to eat, right? Not such a serious activity. And in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol is working on your behalf. And you don't do a thing, right? You're not involved. You don't beat your breast with Al Chayta. You don't sing Rashamnu Bagadnu. You don't do anything. You will be absolved from a certain number of transgressions. It's like opening a new account with Visa or something. Like you get some presents, right? And that's what happens.
Would these calls be the same ones referred to in the Gemara of the last Mishnah of Gilgamesh?
I suppose. This is where it all comes from. This all comes from the Les Mishnah Yuva. The Rambam himself goes on to say what the Kalos are and what the Chamuros are. So it turns out, according to the Rambam, that there's something called tshuva, which is imposed, which I have to do in order to take care of all of my avedos. And I apparently can do that any time during the year. But if I don't do tshuva, along comes Yom HaKippurim, and Yom HaKippurim works on my behalf through the Sa'ir Mishtalech and the Kohen Gadol to achieve some sort of atonement for those averos that are in the category of kalos, right? Those that have a lesser punishment, right? That's kalos, okay? So that there's individual kapora and there's national kapora. We go back to Perek Beis Zion. We understand that the Rambam says, the Rambam is continuing the thought, Yom HaKippurim hu zman tshuva lakol. I mean, what does that mean? What does the Rambam say? Before, the Rambam said that Yom HaKippurim was the time of the Sa'ir HaMishtalech. And the Sa'ir HaMishtalech works to a certain extent, even if there is no tshuva. Right? If you don't do tshuva. So when the Rambam says here, Yom HaKippurim is man tshuva lakol, he's talking about some other aspect of Yom HaKippurim, or the fact that it's important for us to make sure that on Yom HaKippurim we receive the maximum kapora that we could possibly receive. And in order to receive the maximum kapora that we could possibly receive, we have to do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. Because if we don't do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, we're only going to receive kapora al hakalos, are those mitzvahs that are called kalos, but not on the other mitzvot. Then the Rambam goes on and says that this is true for the yachid and the rabim, right? What's the yachid and what's the rabim? I mean, a yachid is an individual, but the rabim is a collection of individuals, like all the individuals together. They are the rabim. Now before there was a distinction between the yachid and the rabim. The yachid, of course, on his own, is not going to get atonement without doing tshuva. The rabim, on the other hand, they have the Sa'ir HaMishtalech, Yom HaKippurim, and they get a certain amount of atonement for that. But the Rambam here says, Yom HaKippurim is man tshuva lakol, that Yom HaKippurim, you have to do tshuva, you have to do some sort of tshuva. And then he says, "Hu keitz mechila uslicha liYisrael." Keitz. Keitz could mean the end of something, the high point of a process. Keitz mechila. You don't mean, the Rambam doesn't mean that the day after Yom HaKippurim you can't get slicha. You could also get kapara the day after Yom HaKippurim, but keitz mechila uslicha. That's what he says, lefikach. It was the Rambam is trying to emphasize something. Now it may be that the Rambam is speaking in view of what he's already said in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Turn back to Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, Bizman Azeh, in our day, there was Aleph and Beis, Halacha is Aleph and Beis. The Rambam seemed to describe what tshuva was. Of course, tshuva is a mitzvah. There's any mitzvah that every individual has. There's the mitzvah of lulav, so it has rules. There's the mitzvah of tshuva, it also has rules. That's halacha aleph. Halacha beis is the soya mishtaleach. There's another kind of tshuva. There's another kind of atonement that you can get at Yom HaKippurim through the soya mishtaleach, which you get because you're part of a community, even if you didn't do tshuva. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. We don't have to do tshuva. What is it that is done on your behalf? What is the kohen, the halacha beis? Again, what is the halacha, what does the kohen gadol do on your behalf? What does he do on your behalf, according to halacha beis in the Rambam? He does vidui. Of course, he doesn't do, what doesn't he do on your behalf? There's no tshuva. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, he can't do tshuva in your place. But since vidui is a formal statement, so he can say vidui on your behalf. It's like in shul, like you stand in shul, you're up to al-chaitz, you tell the person standing next to you, can you be motzi me in al-chaitz? Like, can you bang just a little harder, so it'll be for me also, you know? Like, it's a curious idea. But that's what the halacha is, that the kohen gadol can be motzi me in vidui. And if he's motzi me in vidui, what happens? I don't do anything. I'm just sitting around, don't do tshuva at all. I'm still atoned for certain averas, the lesser averas somehow. Then the Rambam goes on and says, "Bizman hazeh halacha gimel, parak aleph halacha gimel. Bizman hazeh shein beis hamidush kayim vein lel mizbech kapora. Ein shem ela tshuva. Mechamu. Ein shem ela tshuva." Like today, we can't. We don't have that option. We can't say in Yom HaKippurim the Kohen Gadol is going to go and say vidui and I'm going to get atonement. Because there's no Kohen Gadol, there's no Beis HaMikdash. I mean, you don't have to go into this too much. Everybody understands. So, Ein Shem Ela Tshuva. So you see that in this halacha, the Rambam says, Tshuva. It's the Tshuva of Yom HaKippurim. And the Tshuva of Yom HaKippurim seems to be a Tshuva without Vidui. Because on the regular Yom HaKippurim, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, right, there was a Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohen Gadol went and he did vidui for everybody. He did vidui for everybody. Now if I was there in the Beis HaMikdash, I had a choice. I could either do tshuva or I could not do tshuva. If I don't do tshuva, then the Rambam says, I get atonement for some averus. If I do tshuva, then I get atonement maximum. Well, I get maximum atonement. But what about vidui on Yom HaKippurim? For me, do I have to do vidui on Yom HaKippurim according to the Rambam? This vidui of Halacha Beis, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, remember, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that when you do tshuva, Chayev Lizvados, that you may know, that a lot of the Achronim, led by the Minchas Chinuch, the Kiryas Sefer is a parish of the Rambam, the Kiryas Sefer by the Mabit, the Minchas Chinuch, all say that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah that you do when you do tshuva is called vidui. That's the main mitzvah. Of course, before you do vidui, you have to have like the internal readiness to do the mitzvah, and that's called tshuva. But interestingly, they all insist that the mitzvah, according to the Rambam, is vidui. And tshuva is sort of like that which enables you to do vidui. The reason I point this out is because when we read the Rambam carefully, as we're trying to read the Rambam, It turns out that on Yom HaKippurim, when there's a Sarah Mishtaleach, where there's a goat that's sent out into Azazel, right? So who does Vidu on Yom HaKippurim? Who does the Vidu on that Yom HaKippurim, the base of Eidash? The Kohen Gadol. So if I'm a good person, I'm standing in the base of Eidash, I'm not wasting my time, I want to be involved in whatever's going on. So what do? I do tshuva. I do tshuva, but I don't do vidui. So we've discovered that there are two kinds of tshuva. Right? There's the kind of tshuva which only exists with vidui, right? And that's the tshuva of the individual. But the Rambam says that the tshuva of the community, that doesn't have a vidui with it, because who's supposed to do the vidui? Who's supposed to do the vidui? The Kohen Gadol. Now, interestingly enough, away comes the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, and the Rambam says, "Bizman hazeh, in our times, she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, ve'ein lo mizbeach kapor." Right? We don't have a beis hamikdash, so we don't have a mizbeach. Ein sham ela tshuva. So on Yom HaKippurim, that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about mizbeach, a Kohen Gadol, meitz hamikdash, a mizbeach kapor. All we have left is tshuva. When is it all we have left is tshuva? On Yom HaKippurim. All we have is tshuva, because if you sit around on Yom HaKippurim, you don't do anything. Today we're in much worse shape. Right? In the old days, if you sat around and did nothing, so the Kohen Gadol was working on your behalf. But today, if you sit around and do nothing, nobody's working on your behalf. Right? So we've lost out. We've lost out something in this enterprise here. Ein shem el tshuva. Then the Rambam says, "Atshuva b'chaperes al kol averus." Just like he said, "Al chabes." Tshuva will take care of everything. I feel in Russia called Yom, the Rambam is going to become a poet. He says, "A person who's wicked his entire life." Also, tshuva b'achrona. Right? Even though you would think that this is like the wrong way to live, right? You know. We don't even mention the fact that he used to be a Rosh Hashanah. And quotes the Pasuk Yecheskel, "Va'atzmo shel Yom HaKippurim mechaper hashovim," and the essence, the day of Yom HaKippurim itself, is what's mechaper lashovim, shenema akivu yom hazeh yechaper aleichem. So, what do you see? So what do you see according to Halacha Gimel? Who says the vidui on Yom HaKippurim according to Halacha Gimel? Who says the vidui? What? I don't know what it must be, but what does it say in the Halacha Gimel? What does it say about who says the vidui? What does Halacha Gimel say about the vidui? Says nothing. Not a word. So let's remind ourselves again. Halacha Aleph says that if the individual does tshuva, when does the individual do tshuva? Any day feels like doing tshuva. I mean, it's a worthy thing to do. So whether you don't wait till Yom HaKippurim to do tshuva, you do tshuva when you feel it. You have to do tshuva. When you do tshuva, what is the individual chayev to do? What is the individual chayev to do? It's chayev to say vidui. Vidui. For some reason, I mean, it's a pasuk. The rabbi learns about a pasuk. You're chayav, you're obligated to do the vidui. Then halacha beis. What's halacha beis? Halacha is Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is a special day. Why is it a special day? Because tshuva, kapera, vidui works differently. How does it work? Vidui is handled by the Kohen Gadol. Tshuva is handled by the individual. So if the individual wants to get the best possible deal out of Yom HaKippurim, he has to do tshuva, a lot of tshuva. The Kohen Gadol does a lot of vidui, and together somehow it works, right? The vidui and the tshuva work. What happens if the individual doesn't do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim? We don't do tshuva at all, right? You're out looking at the sunset, you forget about Ne'ilah, you don't do tshuva. The Rambam says the vidui works. Vidui works. It's like vidui is not just adjunct. You can see from this halacha that vidui is not simply adjunct to tshuva, But Vidu, he has independent power on Yom HaKippurim. And then along comes the Rambam. And the Rambam says, and today, what happened to Yom HaKippurim? And what happened to the day? I mean, the big deal about Yom HaKippurim can't be that we don't wear shoes. I mean, that can't be the whole thing. What can't be that the Yom HaKippurim is we don't eat and drink for a day. No, no. We all know that you can live through this major test of endurance. So what's supposed to happen at Yom HaKippurim? Yom HaKippurim is supposed to be this major day of kapora, of atonement. But who's supposed to take the lead in making Yom HaKippurim that day? The Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, I mean, all of that. Gone. God, he says, what's left of Yom HaKippurim? What's left of Yom HaKippurim? He says, whoa, tshuva. You could still do tshuva. Of course, you can't do nothing anymore. But you don't have that option to do nothing. Why don't you have the option not to do anything, not to do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim? Because the Kohen Gadol is not doing vidui. If you don't do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, you don't do anything, you're not going to get anything. Right? That's a change. That's a change from the old days to modern times. But then the Rambam goes on and says, interesting. It's very interesting. The Rambam claims that on Yom HaKippurim, because the option to do nothing doesn't exist, because the Kohen Gadol is not there to say vidui, what is it we have to do on Yom HaKippurim? We have to do tshuva. So it sounds like we've discovered a tshuva without vidui. There's a tshuva in the world that we do without vidui, that we could do without vidui, and that's the tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, because that's the most we have expected to do on Yom HaKippurim. Who is going to do the vidui? The Kohen Gadol is going to do the vidui, but the Rambam doesn't say that we have to take the place of the Kohen Gadol and do vidui. So all year long, it turns out, when you do tshuva on any old day of the year, the Rambam says chayav lizvados, you have to do vidui. But on Yom HaKippurim, b'zman hazeh, when you do tshuva, that's all you have to do. The Rambam doesn't say you have to do tshuva. So that's perek. That's halacha aleph, halacha beis, and halacha gimel. Back to halacha zayin, perek beis, halacha zayin. He says lefikach chayovim hakol lasos tshuva lizvados b'Yom HaKippurim. Seems to be, what seems to be, a contradiction. Now you have a choice. You could either get excited about a contradiction in the Rambam, or you could say, well, maybe he didn't mean it. Now maybe, like, he forgot to say that word in Perek Aleph, so he put it in Perek Beis. I mean, it depends on how you were brought up. But if you were brought up to think that the Rambam is very careful about the way he writes things, so it seems like the Rambam is not entirely consistent. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says that what he's supposed to do on Tshuva, on Yom HaKippurim, he's supposed to do Tshuva. Why is it that the Rambam doesn't mention Vidui? Because the Vidui of Yom HaKippurim is in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. No Kohen Gadol, no Vidui. What is the Rambam saying? What is the Rambam saying here? Le'yochid u'le'rabim. He says, the Rambam says, since on Yom HaKippurim, everybody really is doing two kinds of tshuva, right? We can call them A and B, or X and Y, or 1 and 2, depending on which you like. Let's call it 1 and 2. Everybody's doing two kinds of tshuva. Everybody's doing the yochid tshuva that you would do any day of the year if you had the opportunity. And the other kind of tshuva that we're doing is the communal tshuva that was done on Yom HaKippurim with the Seir HaMishtaleach. So look as the Rambam says that in Perek Aleph, when I was talking about the tshuva that goes with the Seir HaMishtaleach, this tshuva of the Rabbim, then I didn't mention vidui, because the Yochid doesn't do vidui for the tshuva of the Rabbim, for the collective kind of kapora. That vidui is done by the Kohen Gadol. But today at Yom HaKippurim, we see ourselves simultaneously as individuals and part of the collective. So as individuals, we have an obligation to say vidui and Yom HaKippurim, whereas as part of the collective, we would be exempt from saying vidui, because the Kohen Gadol is the one who is supposed to say vidui for the collective. So we have this interesting structure that the Rambam is trying to get us involved in. that there's Tshuvas HaYochid and there's Tshuvas HaRabin. And the Tshuvas HaYochid is essentially different than the Tshuvas HaRabin. Because the Tshuvas HaYochid always demands Vidui. I always have to say Vidui in the Tshuvas HaYochid, and the Tshuvas HaRabin does, which takes place on Yom HaKippurim, doesn't need Vidui, and that's why there's a difference between the way where the Rambam explains the Vidui option, or the factor of Vidui, in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, and then again in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. The Rambam also says in Halacha Zayin, "Beficha chayovim hakol lasos tshuva ulisvados biyova kipurim." The Rambam again emphasizes that the mitzvah of vidui, right, is a mitzvah that devolves equally upon men and women. There's no distinction between men and women in this mitzvah of vidui. Then the Rambam says, okay, now let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of Perek Aleph. Perek Beis, I'm sorry. The beginning of Perek Beis. The first halacha in Perek Beis is about Tshuva Gemura. The Rambam begins by saying, Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. Right? Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. Which sounds like the Rambam has already told us that there is such a thing as Tshuva Gemura. Right? Because when you say Ezohi Tshuva Gemura, you mean what I've mentioned before, right? I've spoken before about this. But in fact, what the Rambam has taught us before, at the end of the previous halacha, the end of Perek Aleph, the Rambam says, the Rambam mentions, La'olam ein miskaper lo kapora gemura ad sheyavo olav yisurin. The Rambam mentions kapora gemura, but it doesn't mention tshuva gemura. But the Rambam says ezohi tshuva gemura. That's the beginning of halacha beis. It's kind of a mystery what tshuva gemura is. And if you remember, if you learn perek beis halacha aleph, you know what tshuva gemura is. Perek beis halacha beis, the Rambam says, Maya Tshuva. Finally. Because the Rambam has told us up to now that there's Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, there's Tshuvas HaYochid, in which you have to say Vidui. That's the mitzvah. Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Rambam taught us about the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. The Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, the Vidui is in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. And what about Tshuva? Either you do it or you don't do it. But even if you don't do tshuva, you get a certain amount of kapara, of atonement. Halacha Gimel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam says, what do? We don't have a Sa'ir Mishtaleach. We don't have a Kohen Gadol. We don't have a Mizbeach. We don't have a Mikdash. So what do we do, Bizman Hazeh? What do we do, Bizman Hazeh? Tshuva. It was the Rambam says, what changed from the good old days to the Zman Hazeh? That in the good old days, if you didn't do tshuva, you did get kapara, because the Kohen was working on your behalf. In our days, if you don't do tshuva, you don't get kapara, there's nobody working for you. That's halachas aleph, halacha beis, halacha gimel, right? Then, perek beis halacha aleph, perek beis halacha aleph, the Rambam says, ezohi tshuva gimura. It's about tshuva, not about vidui. Ezo Yitshuva Gemura. How does a person affect the best kind of tshuva? And the Rambam explains that you sort of change your personality. How do you know that you change your personality? How do you know? Well, you don't really know. You don't really know. It is theoretically, the Rambam says, that you change your personality such that if the opportunity to do the same aveira comes up in exactly the same way, and you don't do it, so you know you've changed your personality. But you understand that that's only a theoretical construct, because it never repeats itself perfectly in life. So we don't know. So the Rambam says there's something theoretical that's called tshuva gemura, right? Something theoretical. That theoretical thing, I think, is an idea. It's something to remember. But we could never test ourselves to find out that we've done tshuva gemura. And that's important because the Rambam also paskins. The Rambam paskins here. The Rambam paskins Perek Beis Halacha Ches. Right? I know we're going back and forth, but you really should know Hilchos Tshuva Baal Peh. So it makes it, if you know Baal Peh, it's easier to go back and forth. So if you look at Perek Beis Halacha Ches, the Rambam says that Vidui, he says what the Vidui is. Then he says an interesting thing. Aveiro Shezvado Aleim B'Yom Kippurim Zeh. That any vidui that I say on this Yom Kippur for some aveira, choser mezvada alehem b'yom kippurim acher, afal pi sheo mei b'tshuvoso. In other words, next year I have to also do vidui for these aveiras. In other words, let's say I did an aveira. What aveira could I have done? I got up too early for slichas. And I was like wasting my time because I got up so early. So you go and you do vidu, and you say, "Ben Shalom, I'm never going to get up early again." You have exactly what I was supposed to get up, right? So you do vidu. So the Rambam says that even though the following year, the entire following year, you lived up to this resolution, right? You never got up early again, right? You still, the year afterwards, you have to do vidu again on the same aveira. Why do you have to do vidui again on the same aveira? He says, that's what the Rambam says, apparently, in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. The Rambam explains, who doesn't have to do vidui again next year for the same aveira that you did vidui for this year? Who doesn't have to? Only a Baal Tshuva Gemura. Now, who's a Baal Tshuva Gemura? Nobody. Nobody, because the criteria that the Rambam creates for determining who a Baal Tshuva Gemura is can never exist. Because it's inconceivable that two situations in life would be exactly the same. It can't be. I mean, you can never test yourself. You can't say, if you once robbed a gas station. I always imagine that as being an exciting thing to do. Not a good thing to do. But like exciting, you go in and you rob the gas station. All right. So then, what's tshuva gemura? What's tshuva gemura? Tshuva gemura means you go again to the same gas station, the same night, same weather, same cars are pumping up, and then you park your gun. You go to the guy behind that plate glass thing there, and you say, "Give me your money, or I'll kill you." He gives you your money, and you say, "Trick or treat." Right? You say, "No! No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this." Oh, of course, it's just a theoretical construct. Right? That doesn't mean that you do that. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to do that. Like, you imagine somebody did. I mean, who knows what they did? People do all kinds of crazy aveiras. So Rabbi says, let's see you not do it. What kind of thing is that? So it's a theoretical construct. What it means is a person can do tshuva such that if he wouldn't do the aveira. But who's going to know that? Well, he's not going to know it. I mean, you can never really know that. And therefore, the Rambam says, But if you're misvada on Aveira last year, you have to be misvada again this year on the Aveira that you were misvada last year, because you're probably not a Baal Tshuva Gemura. So that's Tshuva Gemura. The Rambam says, the Rambam in this halacha of Tshuva Gemura, in fact, is a denial of the catharsis theory of human existence. You know what a catharsis is? A catharsis is like things are not going you so well, you know, like nothing seems to be working out, everything is bad, so you jump into a pool of molten lava. And then you say, well, I thought it was bad before. This is really awful, you know. And you forget everything. You forget everything that was bothering you before. You say, what? How could I have been annoyed about all what I was annoyed about before? This is really an annoyance. You're going to swim in this molten lava. How do you get out of it? You know, that's called a catharsis. You have an experience which changes your attitude. Right? You're totally, whatever you thought about before, you think about something else, it's different. Everything is different. So the Rambam says that there's no catharsis. That there is no catharsis. Because you never know about Tshuva Gemura. It's only an attempt. It's a place that we go. But Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, when you come to do Vidui, you can do Vidui on last year's Averis also. Because you probably have not yet changed enough to stop doing Vidui on the Averia that you once did. You got Kapora. The Rambam's not arguing about that. It's not that you're guilty. The Rambam is not saying that you've maintained guilt and that you're walking around with this terrible guilt and looking unhappy. The Rambam is saying something else, that if tshuva is a vehicle which we use to change ourselves from the kind of person that did something wrong to the kind of person that didn't do something wrong, well, we don't know that we've accomplished that. That has perhaps not been accomplished, and therefore we have to do vidui on last year's Averis, just as we have to do vidui on this year's Averis, even if from last year to this year we're fairly confident that we did not engage in that kind of Avera act. And then the Rambam says, Umahi Atshuva. So the Rambam explains. He says, Tshuva really, he says, tshuva has two parts. Charata al ha'avar, you have to feel remorse for what you did, and you have to accept responsibility for the future, right? And then the Rambam says, V'yo'id olav yodeya ta'alumos shelo yoshuv lezeh ha'cheit la'olav. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say about this person that his resolve is so strong that he won't do this Avera again. So what's the difference in Tshuva Gemura and just plain old regular regulation Tshuva? What's the difference? Tshuva is when you sincerely take a stand that you're not going to do that Aveira again. And it may be that the stand that you take is so strong that you will not do that Aveira again. But that may be. But that doesn't mean that you've changed yourself. It was just because you can control your inclination doesn't mean that you've changed your personality entirely. Right? That's called superego. Right? Like there are things we want to do, but we train ourselves not to do them. Right? We don't do them. Like, we don't always get undressed when we're hot. Right? Like, you see little children, you know, little children go toddling around. They're hot. They get undressed. Which seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But the parents say to them, the mother says, oh, no. You can't do that. You have to superego your inclination out of existence, child says. I didn't realize that being born was such a bad deal. You know, like, Like you can't do anything reasonable. You can't do anything reasonable. Like if it's hot, you get undressed. No, can't do that. You have to sweat. You have to be hot. So that's called superhuman. So we can control ourselves. We can learn to control the things we want to do, because it's in our interest to control ourselves. It's in our interest. So we do so, but that doesn't mean we've changed. We've changed somewhat, but it doesn't mean we've changed. That's like tshuva gemura. So tshuva gemura means you've changed. You're not even interested in doing the aveira. But tshuva means that you have the strength to avoid falling into the pits that your weaknesses might allow you or enable you to fall into. So that's tshuva gemura. That's per halacha aleph. And tshuva, maya tshuva. And tshuva is about charata al ha'avar, right? I have remorse about the past, and I'm accepting a new set of rules in the future. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, this person is really not going to do that aveira. Not tshuva gemura. Not that this person has changed. No. But this person is under control. So there's tshuva gemura, which is a kind of a mystical thing, something that we can never know about. It's an aspiration we have. We would like to be in the world of tshuva gemura, but we would what we can expect to achieve is tshuva, is halacha beis. Halacha aleph is a theoretical construct, gives us a model, something to shoot at, but we never know. We never know about ourselves in tshuva gemura. Tshuva, however, we can expect to achieve. Then the Rambam says, gets back to vidui, right? Vidui is a mitzvah that's imposed on tshuva. Even though tshuva, it would seem, covers all the bases, because I have charata al ha'avar and kabbalah al ha'asid, the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, what does the Rambam say? Kishiyashu bicheto chayav lizvadas. You have to do vidui. There's another factor. There's another feature. Right? So the word tshuva exists without vidui. Right? The idea of tshuva exists without vidui. Even though, but the Torah says do vidui. But theoretically, tshuva kind of exists without vidui. And look at the Rambam Halacha Gimel. Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Kolam isvada bidvar v'lo gomar belibo lazov, etc., etc., etc. Bad. In other words, it is true that tshuva theoretically exists without vidui. For us, it doesn't exist without vidui, really, except tshuva theoretically exists without vidui, but vidui doesn't exist without tshuva. And that, of course, is for what? For the yochi. Because we know that on Yom HaKippurim, with the Kohen Gadol, vidui might exist without tshuva. But for the individual, the Rambam says, vidui cannot exist without tshuva. Just as in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he said that tshuva does not exist for us as a mitzvah without vidui, vidui does not exist as a mitzvah without tshuva. But the Rambam says, Kol ha-mitzvada perek beis halacha gimel, kol ha-mitzvada bidvar l'gomar b'libo la'azov, ha-reis edome le-tovel v'sheres b'yado. Tovel v'sheres b'yado, somebody goes into the mikveh and is holding on to an object which is tamei. You go into the mikveh in order to become tahor, but you're holding on to this object which is tamei, so of course nothing's going to happen. Going into the mikveh, nothing is going to happen. Now this is not the same. It's easy enough to understand that vidui without tshuva shouldn't work at all. But what about tshuva without vidui? What about tshuva without vidui? So the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Beis discusses tshuva, and he says tshuva is about the past and is about the future. And nowhere in Halacha Beis does he mention vidui, so that one would think that according to the Rambam, that tshuva could exist without vidui. It's not supposed to. The proper way to do tshuva is blood. Yeah, but that's something else. Because the Rambam says tshuva, right? There's the past and there's the future. V'yayid alav yodeh ta'aluma shelo yishuv zechait la'olam shenema, right? Period. So now up to here, does it work or does it not work? I think that the Rambam says that it works. The Rambam, it's true, adds v'tzorech l'zvados b'smoso v'loma an inyonos elu shigara v'livo. True. He's chayev to do that. But he doesn't say that if you do the tshuva and you don't do the vidui, you're tovel v'sheretz b'yoda. With the vidui, it sounds like the Rambam says that vidui can't live without tshuva, but it does also sound like tshuva can live without vidui, even though the mitzvah is, the chiyuv is, that when you do tshuva, you should also do vidui. I wanted to show you a pre-Megodim. Pre-Megodim. The pre-Megodim wrote an introduction to his Peirush on the Shulchan Aruch. And in this Peirush, he discusses a wide variety of general halachic topics. So the Bibi Godim says that the Rambam writes that when you do tshuva, you have to do vidui. And this seems to indicate that he says, lo mahane, achi yotzi bisvasov. Umihu hiru ha'alev nami be'inan kei. Then Lokain Ukitovel Visheritz Biyodo Kimavoa. The Bibi Godim asks an interesting question. Is it possible to integrate vidui with tshuva? Like if tshuva means remorse, sadness about what I've done. And if tshuva means Kabbalah al Ha'atid, right, I accept that the future I will do things differently, if that's what tshuva is, then why can't I also, and that I do that internally, I don't have to say anything. I mean, if I'm sincere. Do it out loud. And so the Prima Gavim says no. That his understanding is that the Rambam insisted that we should say the vidui out loud. And again, we've constructed as follows, that if you do vidui but you don't do tshuva, it's nothing, it's a worthless act for the yochid. For the tzibur, it's apparently not entirely worthless. Because when the Kohen Gadol does vidui for the tzibur, if an individual does not do tshuva, he nevertheless receives atonement of some sort or other. Right? So that vidui without tshuva, the Rambam says for the individual is worthless, but for the community has some value. On the other hand, tshuva without vidui seems to us to have some value. Even though the Rambam adds in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, that you have to also do vidui, because that's the Rambam's position, that it's part of the mitzvah to do vidui. Nevertheless, from the way he constructs it, it seems to us that if you do tshuva and you don't do vidui, if you do tshuva and you don't do vidui, that's all right. In which case, and then the Prima Gadim comes along and asks the question, why can't we do vidui the same way we do tshuva? We do tshuva quietly to ourselves, without saying anything. Why can't we do vidui? Why can't we do vidui in the same way? That's the question of the Prima Gadim, and he thinks that the Rambam indicates that that's not possible. That the essential nature of vidui is speaking. You have to speak it out. You have to say. And in fact, on Yom Kippurim, we all know that we do vidui endlessly. Endlessly. We say vidui again and again on Yom Kippurim, and we include in our vidui every possible avera that anybody could have thought of, right? Any possible onesh that we might have been chayav. All of that is included in the vidui that we say on Yom HaKippurim. So it would seem that the Rambam's position is that vidui is not only that which expresses, I mean, the Rambam's position, and you think about the matzah for a minute, it's not true that vidui is just that which expresses in words the tshuva that I have done already. But vidui itself is a generator of tshuva. It's a generator of tshuva. Like sometimes you don't know what the extent of the transgression that you did was. If you did something wrong, you say, okay, it wasn't so terrible. I'll replace it, I'll fix it, I'll change it. Everything was wrong, but it's not so terrible, right? But then, when you look at your friends, or you look at your acquaintances and you see how they think, how bad they think your avera was, then you might be taken aback. When you hear the statement out loud, when you hear the words that express the avera that you did, the demand on tshuva becomes greater. Because you have to do more, because when you say it, when you say it out loud, when you say that, Achechecha tonu lefanecha, b'lashon hara, you say it, suddenly you start thinking about the profundity of the issue. When you just do it internally, we do it internally and we just don't pay too much attention, but we do tshuva sincerely, but we don't see the avera as in the same kind of stark relief as we do when we say the words. So that vidui is not simply the verbal reflection of my internal position, but vidui itself helps to determine my internal position. How much tshuva do I have to do? How much do I have to change? How bad is it to have done what it is I did? Only the vidui generates that kind of assessment. We're not generally capable of being both pure and keeping everything inside. We're not capable of just adjusting ourselves without bringing the issue to the fore, and that's what vidui is. Vidui is not just, as the Rambam points out, an adjunct to tshuva, but it's a necessary, it both comes as a result of tshuva, and in fact generates more tshuva, because it clarifies the nature of my transgression, of the offense that I have done. So if we go through these halachas, we see that there's a mitzvah for the individual to do tshuva. That individual certainly has to do vidui. Because vidui is what creates, actually, the vidui creates the tshuva. The force of the tshuva is a function of the vidui, and not simply a function of the awareness that he did some sort of, that person did some sort of a chet. On the other hand, vidui without tshuva is nothing, because he hasn't done anything. There's no particular mitzvah. There's no particular mitzvah to do vidui. There's no particular mitzvah to do vidui if it does not enhance my tshuva. Like there's no, even though the Rambam says, according to certain opinions, that vidui is sort of the mitzvah act, and tshuva is that which envelops the mitzvah act in some way. But there is a reciprocity between tshuva and vidui, such that the tshuva is better with vidui. I think, however, the Rambam says, a perek beis, halacha beis, that if a person does tshuva and doesn't do vidui, he's done something. Whereas in perek beis, halacha hey, the Rambam says, In Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says that if you do vidui but you don't do tshuva, that's where you didn't do anything. That the Rambam thinks that you just you're making light of the Torah, because it's like Tova b'sheretz b'yoda, so that there's a relationship which we have seen exists between the tshuva on the one hand and the vidui on the other hand, where the vidui creates the incentive, it's the engine that charges the tshuva, because tshuva is after all the result of some sort of awareness, and that awareness only comes if you speak and say the words of the Aveira to yourself, that gives it a certain kind of existence in the real world. Furthermore, we saw that there is a notion of tshuva gemura, right? There's a notion of tshuva gemura, which for us remains a theoretical construct, something that we aim for, but which we can never achieve, because we can never do the test that the Rambam wants us to do. On the other hand, we can do real tshuva. Real tshuva, according to the Rambam, means that and we have to understand there's a difference between a person who is able, right, who is strong enough to be able to avoid an aveira, and the person who is so changed that he has no interest in that aveira at all. Right? These are two different things. The tshuva gemura is about the person who's totally changed and doesn't have any longer an interest in that particular aveira. That kind of change is not a change that we can easily measure in ourselves. Right? We don't know if that's happened or that hasn't happened. But tshuva is the ability that we have to orient our lives such that we can determine that we won't go down a certain path, or we won't capitulate to a certain type of behavior. The mystery of this system lies in Yom HaKippurim, in the time of the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, because the Rambam says that at the time of Yom HaKippurim, the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, the Kohen Gadol would do vidui, and all the people would do tshuva. That's fine. That sort of makes sense. But the Rambam also says that if you don't do tshuva, if the individual doesn't do tshuva, then the vidui of the Kohen Gadol helps to atone for the kalos, for certain kinds of averas that have a more lenient kind of a punishment to them. But that's the only place that we find. That's the only place that we find that vidui is not simply an active ingredient in the process of tshuva, but vidui is in fact the process in its entirety. And that's why, that's the pshat, apparently, that's the pshat in the pasuk says, ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem, that there's a kapora that comes to Bnei Yisrael because of the yom. And that turns the whole process upside down, that on Yom HaKippurim there is the possibility of Yom HaKippurim that vidui would produce kapora, the vidui of the Kohen Gadol would produce kapora without tshuva. That's the key by Yom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem. So it turns out that Yom HaKippurim is the greatest day of chesed, because in spite of the fact that the Rambam says that tshuva gemura is the model, that tshuva is the demand, the activity that we have to be involved with, the Yair Alav Yodeh Ta'alumos, that tshuva is not tshuva unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you did it. Nevertheless, there's this chesed. Chesed means an extraordinary leniency that exists through the agency of Yom HaKippurim, that Kiba Yom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem, there's a kapora, an atonement that can come to Bnei Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim, at least in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol, Sarvi Shtalach, where the Vidui and the Kapora are the only elements of the day. That people stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei Hashem Titoru, and that experience is so significant that it works instead of tshuva, without tshuva. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol and the amida of Lifnei Hashem Titoru on Yom HaKippurim provides us with the ultimate chesed within the context of kapora, and that ultimate chesed is that even if you didn't do tshuva, you can receive kapora al ha-kalos.